Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
It's a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Like, what?
I'm sorry, soccer? Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right?
Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagru.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah, wow.
Show,
maybe no, I'm the talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this blood that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shay McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. I'm back in the driver's seat, and I'm sick at the same time, but it doesn't matter. I'm excited about this show. I'm excited about this episode. Now, if you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. If you are watching this video, hit like, hit subscribe right now. Like right now, that would be awesome. If you're an audio-only listener, come check us out on YouTube or just give it a five-star review wherever you're at. I am going to bring to the show, because I think last time he sat in the backstage for about 4.5 hours. So let's bring to the stage my right-hand man, Jack Wright, to the show. Jack, how are you, buddy?
I'm so happy. How are you, man? So good.
I am elated, and there's so many wonderful things to talk about. And so if you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at BearDownJack. Just other than excited, 4 seconds. Thoughts, go.
It's nice to see our Chicago Bears destroy, just dominate in back-to-back weeks. It's beyond belief to see a quarterback of number 18's caliber wearing a Bears jersey and throwing dimes and dots all over the field. It's just amazing, Ryan.
Let's also bring to the show the assistant editor of Bears Wire. It's Brendan Chagru. That was almost alliteration. Almost. We were almost there. If you want to find Brendan on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagru. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Brendan, how are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. This is a great day. Great win. I'm coming to you guys live from London. As you can see, not really, because I can't afford it, but that's okay.
It looked almost somewhat convincing. Almost.
No, it didn't.
Not even a little bit. There's so many good things that we could be talking about that we're going to talk about in this game. And if I hear this correctly, we have tonight a Brendan's breakdown. Is that correct, Brendan? Do we have one?
We do. The game was so long ago. I actually had plenty of time to write it and also get the rest of my responsibilities done. So I figured it was a special occasion. We had to do it.
Before we do that, we've got some people to thank. You need a haircut. I don't even, you know, Brendan, I'm not saying you in particular. I'm talking about all of our listeners. You need a haircut. Well, if there's really only one of two places you should be going, you need to see our guy. That's the most important part. Jack, tell them about our guys.
That's the place to go. There's no doubt about it. It's Sheridan's Barbershop. It's a cornerstone of the Wheaton community since 1954. Excuse me. It's where old school charm meets modern style. Located in the heart of historic Wheaton, they've got six barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it's easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule with appointments available online or by phone. You can go to sheridansbarbershop.com or you can call 630-688-0137. And over in downtown Naperville, Illinois, Hensel's Barbershop, a local favorite since 1966, offers the same unbeatable services with a crew of six skilled barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They've got you covered with walk-ins and appointments. Whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, Hensel's has got you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
I'm so excited. Let's delay no further. It's time for Brendan's breakdown. Let's hear it, baby.
Oi, cheers, governor. Oh, it feels like forever that the Chicago Bears played a football game because it happened so early in the morning over in the colonies. It did. They took on the Jacksonville Jaguars, a fine automobile, but not a fine organization. No, it's not. Wouldn't you agree, Master Dangle?
Isn't it?
Right, make it so. Anywho, the Bears got going in the second quarter when Cole T. and Crum Kmetz said, "I'll take seconds, please," as he scored touchdowns, from King Caleb Williams. The Bears then sent the Jaguars off to Bedfordshire when they kept scoring points. I'd say Keenan Allen Thompson had Bears fans saying, "What's up with that?" after he scored a pair of tutties. I said tutties, not titties, mind you. Get your head out the gutter, boys. Then DeAndre Taylor Swift made sure to mind the gap and score a touchdown right up the middle. Oh, we do love a London boy, don't we, Sir Jack? He's not saying anything. That's right. That's a Taylor Swift song, Jack. The last who dated our boy Joe Alwyn, but went on to date that Kelsey fella. Yes, she did. Anywho, Bears stomp the Jaguars 35-16. Right, so.
I don't know about that accent, but I loved everything about it. Everything. That was fantastic. I think the triumphant return of Brendan's breakdown deserves a thunderous applause. So
I apologize for missing my British cue because I would have slayed it. I just would have, but I missed it.
It's okay. I wasn't even going to tell you guys because I just wanted to like completely put you guys like deer in the headlights. So at least Ryan got it, but that's exactly what I wanted.
Ryan is cringing over both of our British accents. What are you going on about, Ryan?
It was okay. It was all right.
Do you have better? You don't have better.
Yeah, but that's okay. Let's move on, shall we? All right. So boys, I know. How about this? I will throw it out there when I'm not sick and nasally. I'll put it out there, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll even do my terrible around the world accents and we'll just have a little bit of fun with it. Anyway, boys, Bears, boys, Battlestar Galactica. Okay. Now, normally this is the part of the thing where we walk around and we talk about our overall thoughts in the game, but I think if it's okay with you guys, I have one true false that we'll go to right out of the gates because it's been so foremost on my mind. Then we'll do overall thoughts, hit back maybe two more true or false before we get to the outhouse and the penthouse. Is it okay that I throw a wrench in tonight's game plan? Is that all right, boys?
Absolutely.
Okay. So now, Brendan, when you know who I'm talking about, zip it, right? Those of you that are in the comment section, you are also playing along, right? We are talking about a quarterback who was drafted relatively high, and he is no longer playing for the team that drafted him. But while he was there, he had an incredible game. I'm going to read you the stat line. You ready for this? So this quarterback, not talking about Caleb Williams, this is past, right? This quarterback was 19 for 26, 354 yards, and six touchdowns. Now, here's the thing. This quarterback that I'm talking about that was drafted high is not a starter anymore. He's a backup. But he had a spectacular game that many of us kind of hung our hat on to say, yep, this is the guy. This is the guy that has arrived. The NFL better watch out because this guy is going to be winning Super Bowls all over the place. So first of all, I got to ask Brendan, thumbs up or thumbs down. Do you know who I'm talking about?
This is way too easy if it's who I think it is. So, yeah.
And Mr. Jack Wright, do you know who I'm talking about?
I think so. Yeah.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm waiting to see anybody in the comments know who I'm talking about. When I say Brendan and I just say the stat line would give it away, especially the 6 tutties, right? That's a pretty special number, right? So boys, who am I talking about?
Mitchell Trubisky.
I am indeed talking about Mitchell Trubisky. So I've been trying to calm myself, like truly calm myself down, because Caleb almost had 5 tutties. Like truly when we think about it, and I just want to say Bruja 7, Mitch, he got it. He knew it. I appreciate you very much, Bruja. Right. And so here's the thing. I've been trying to pump the brakes a little bit and sit back. You know, several fans that I heard today said that Caleb got what was the way in which they put it? Bailed out by some questionable calls by the refs, which I totally disagree with, but made me think, true or false, boys, this was Caleb's version of the Mitch Trubisky versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game in 2018. For this one, we're going to go Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up.
I'm going to say false, and it's no knock on Mitch. That game was truly amazing. And, I mean, to throw 6 touchdowns in an NFL football game, I mean, much respect. I just think it's completely different. I don't know as if we have seen a quarterback in our lifetime orchestrate the offense like Caleb Williams does. I don't think we have seen someone who can simultaneously take a play call, go up to the line, make adjustments, call line protection, audible, point out the Mike linebacker, then go ahead and take the snap and dazzle even more so after that. I suppose there's going to be some naysayers saying we played 2 pretty shit teams in a row, and I suppose that's fine. But I still think what we're seeing is the potential for growth and a ceiling that is not even Mitch Trubisky conversation worthy. He's like, Mitch isn't in the conversation with Caleb. So I'm going to say false.
I'm also going to say false for a couple of reasons. One, I mean, Mitch threw 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. Caleb threw 4-1, so it is different. He also threw for over 300 yards. Caleb did not. But that game, and this isn't revisionist history, I think everybody can see that Matt Nagy was in his bag, and he just dismantled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with his game plan. Guys were wide the hell open. I don't think I've ever seen wide receivers running as wide open as guys were that day. It was awesome, and Mitch hit every single throw that he needed to. But look at this game. Caleb Williams was threading the needle more often than not. Look at some of the darts to Keenan Allen down the middle. The touchdown passes, he was covered pretty well, and he's still zipping it in there. I think the one play with Cole Kmet, the first touchdown, that was definitely a Shane Waldron specialty that he stole from Kyle Shanahan. So you can say, hey, that one's definitely because of the game plan and Cole Kmet's ability to roll into the end zone. But I just think from standing in the pocket and finding guys who aren't necessarily like wide the hell open, Caleb did a really, really good job of that. And I mean, I think that this was like a nice mix of him as well as the offense kind of playing complimentary football versus that game was just Matt Nagy taking advantage of a god-awful Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. And two, I think Caleb Williams still has more heights to go. Like, that was definitely the highest of highs of Mitchell Trubisky's career. I think Caleb Williams will continue to raise the bar. Yep. Ryan was muted.
You pulled a Jack.
I did it. It's true. I did. All right. So first thing I'm going to say is it's false. I will absolutely say that it's false. You know, I'm trying to be level-headed about this stuff, but it's really difficult. And Brendan, I think a lot about the, it has become a tradition now of you posting Caleb's stat line week, right? To how he's doing. And this is 2 weeks in a row. Yes, he's playing bad defenses, but you know what? That's what good football teams do. They beat the teams that they should beat, right? You don't fall into a trap game or something else along those lines. And that wasn't the case here. And Brendan, I think you said it really well. It's like he did throw that interception, right? He threw that pick, and that was a bad pick. I don't think anybody's gonna dispute that, right? But in the last three games, right, he has thrown 7 touchdowns to 1 very bad interception, but he's only thrown 1 interception. Right. And that, like, it kind of boggles the mind that this kid, as I think a lot of people are saying, right, is, you know, Bruja, I totally agree with you. You know, Caleb is just getting started. I think you guys kind of said it. He's ascending in a way that is not something that we have seen here before. And I'm having this argument with my wife on the couch, you know, and she, you know, she works overnight. So she slept through the game and she goes, "You said Mitch Trubisky was going to be different." I was like, "Yeah, you're right, I did." She goes, "You said Justin Fields was going to be different." I'm like, "Yeah, but Caleb is actually going to be different." And she's like, "I don't believe you." And I'm really starting to think to myself, and feel free, boys, to chime into this. Like, how do you put into words, how do you articulate how much different this is, other than dude could read defenses better than maybe any Chicago Bears quarterback we've had over the last 20 years, right? That he moves his eyes, and his athletic ability is not that of Justin Fields, but is enough to make plays happen down the field, and he's looking to throw. And that one, guys, I don't think I've ever seen this before.
I think when you're talking about how is this different, you just have to watch from week to week to week to week. And just, we've talked about the growth. We've talked about the ability to operate the offense efficiently. Everything looks smooth with his operation inside the pocket. He's good enough as an athlete to be able to break runs like he did earlier today. He's a great thrower of the ball, my goodness. And the Bears are throwing the kitchen sink at him offensively. We always had to make excuses for these quarterbacks. And it's true. We can look back at it and say, with Mitch, the Bears were cutting the field in half for him. And that was the way that they had to, you know, essentially get past these bad defenses. With Justin Fields, it was, let's open up running lanes where he can move the ball with his legs, because he can't necessarily do it with his arm. Shane Waldron and the Bears offense are literally giving him everything to work with, and he's running with it. Well, throwing with it, really. So all you have to do, if somebody like your beautiful wife, Kate, or somebody else is like, "Why, how is this different?" Just watch the growth and progression from each and every week. And he is fixing the mistakes that he's made, and he's getting more guys involved. You now don't know where the ball is going, because he is finding a comfort level with DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze, and now Keenan Allen. So I think it's just all in the eye test. You can see that this guy is different, and he's proving it every single week.
That one of so sorry, Jack, I want to hear you just really quick. The threading of the needle to Keenan Allen in the end zone, I want to say it was right behind the goalpost, or just so that you know what I'm talking about. He put that ball in a spot, legitimately, no one can catch it but Keenan Allen. And just it was just you're like, how is this? Is this what quarterbacking is supposed to look like, Jack?
Yes, I think it finally is. And I think Kate brings up an excellent point. I think to challenge us is appropriate. I get two things I'm thinking of. One, just straight out of Cam's notebook. When Cam said that we now have a quarterback who already has the skill to play quarterback, but is learning the offense, whereas before we always had quarterbacks that were learning the position and trying to learn the offense. That was Cam Gold. I think that was about the most appropriate way to characterize the situation. So that's one. Yeah, and I think then the second part of it that we're seeing from Caleb is part of what you just said, Ryan, the ability already to throw guys open, as a for instance. Or another way to think about this is even when we did think that Mitch or Justin, let's say, were like the guys, I mean, think about the conversations that we were having about those quarterbacks And the fact that there were still doubts and there was still like, okay, we think it's, we're close with this. I think there's a little bit more development needed, or he needs some more weapons. And, but, you know, but then it also became about release points and decision making. And it became about, you know, the inability to slide or not slide, or Mitch, you know, throwing interceptions in terrible situations, or Mitch continually throwing the ball out of bounds on deep balls time and time again. Some of these things that we just saw consistently with those two players. And I don't want to go down a Justin wormhole, but if you've watched Justin at all, Justin's not that much different of a player. And again, I root for him, but he has some of the same deficiencies he had with the Bears. He's on a much better team. And I hope, I still hope he solves those deficiencies. But those deficiencies, Caleb doesn't have. He doesn't have any of those same types of deficiencies.
Remember when Mitch would run out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage? I mean, we're talking about mental lapses here. Yes. From these guys. And this was like in year two and year three that he was doing it. And I think you see Caleb Williams, he might have had like, he had a one bad sack, maybe two, in his first 2 weeks. And even the sacks now, like the Bears, I'm sure we'll get into it, but they got sacked three times today. Do you know how many yards they lost total?
No.
Five.
Wow. Brilliant. Well, that's brilliant.
And think about where he was it 4 weeks ago, where he took a sack where he lost like 18 yards or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
Jack, I think you're the one that said it essentially, that this kid is like, he's learning from every one of his mistakes, right? He threw a bad pick. Like, everybody knows it, right? DJ Moore was open. He missed him. But that was the thing is, you know, and then the defense gives up a touchdown, and then you watch the offense just drive down the field with a mix, a balance of run and pass and away. And then you're thinking, and I literally said it out loud because I'm a Bears fan. I'm a lifelong Bears fan. I said, oh, well, they're just going to kick the field goal. You know, that's good. They play it safe. You know, you'll be up 17-3 or whatever it was at that point. And then he throws a touchdown and you're like, oh, this is different. This is not the same Bears.
And not only that, Ryan, when did that touchdown happen? Oh, hey, Sheldon, what's up?
Hi, Shells. For all of our audio only listeners, Patrick Sheldon, he's still with us. You guys looking and sounding sharp tonight. Not as much without you, buddy. We miss you. We miss your face. Get back on the pod, right? But spending time with your family. What is this? You gang out with the pod.
The way you said that made it sound like he's dead. He's not dead. He's still with us. He is still breathing.
He's still with us.
He's having a great vacation. No, the big thing I was going to say is that touchdown that you alluded to, that was in 2 minutes. We have a Bears rookie quarterback in his sixth game that is operating the 2-minute offense like a 5-6 year pro. And it's such a huge contrast to what the Bears were dealing with the last few years. And this is both a coaching problem. This is a player problem. I'm not putting blame on anybody because I know people are sensitive about that. But they could not do anything in 2 minutes or the fourth quarter. And now you have a Bears team that is blowing teams out of the water with the most points in the fourth quarter. And they're able to score points within the 2-minute drill and operate it to a T. I cannot overstate how huge that is, especially for a rookie to be able to do that so quickly. And it's clearly making a difference in games. We saw it last week against the Panthers. We're seeing it again this week against the Jaguars, and they're getting points right before halftime. Like, that's insane.
So boys, again, the plan I think now is out the window. We're adjusting on the field. And I think Brendan, you perfectly set up the other two true falses that I have. So if it's okay, boys, we're just gonna go with it. I think this is the real question, right? The real thing that we were so concerned about. And let me say this, legitimately concerned about, we should have been concerned about, which is Shane Waldron. The offense was bad. It looked out of sorts. But so my question now becomes, right? So true or false, you are still worried about Shane Waldron. You are still worried about him as the offensive coordinator. Let's go same order. Jack, Brendan, and I'll finish it up.
I'm going to say true, and I'll keep my answer brief because it's kind of the same as last week, to be honest with you. I mean, there's no denying how prolific the offense has been the last 2 weeks. And as I said last week, to be able to just absolutely beat teams that you're supposed to beat like a drum. Major props. I would rather see that than us scuffling against teams that we should beat. I just need to see it in primetime Green Bay. I need to see it in you know, the very beginning of the first quarter, which I won't talk too much about, Ryan, because I know that that's something that bothers you, rightfully so. So yeah, no, we got to get through this bye. We're in a great spot, but Shane Waldron still has much to prove, in my opinion. The whole team really does. Even Caleb, against, twice against each, interdivisional opponent, for instance, or against San Fran, or against Seattle later down the line. So it's still a wait and see. So, I'm still worried about him.
I wasn't worried. Maybe a little nervous, but I don't want to say I was worried, and I'm not like even trying to just backtrack, because I know when we talked about this, I think there was a lot more worry from you guys than me, because I just felt like this was always going to take time. I think we wanted to see progress a little bit sooner. So I guess false. I'm not still worried about it. I do think there's things to clean up for sure. And I know, Jack, you touched on a few of them. You have to be able to do this against good teams. You have to start out better. I mean, that's the biggest flaw in his game plan right now. The revelation that came out earlier this week from Stacey Dales on 670 The Score that Waldron didn't script his first 15 plays was odd. And a little bit, that part was worrying, because I don't know why you wouldn't do that, especially with a rookie quarterback. Maybe he thought it was working well enough for veterans that he's had in the past, like Russell Wilson, Jared Goff, and Geno Smith, but that needed to happen. So I do think that the Bears need to get off to a better start. Maybe, guys, maybe they just do the first 6-9 plays or something in warmups and just get him out of the way and throw him out and then get started with whatever the hell he's going to do on the third series, because clearly that seems to work. Maybe that's an idea. But that's the biggest thing, because the Bears have not led to open a game yet this year. Every team has scored first and they've had to dig themselves out of a hole. Now, they've been able to do it the last few weeks because they have played, well, bad teams. And you don't apologize for that, and they beat the crap out of them when it's all said and done. But let's say the Jaguars were a better team, and instead of going down 3-0, you're down 14-0. What does that look like? Can Caleb Williams and this offense then dig themselves out of that hole? Maybe, but I'd rather not find out. So he does need to adjust when it comes to his game scripting. He actually has to put together a script, and this offense needs to execute it. I think there's just still issues on both sides there, but I am so pleased with what I've seen in terms of improvements from week one to week two to week five and week six. Like, you can't tell me this is a different, like, this is definitely a different offense where guys are clicking pretty much in every single area.
Brendan, I think that last part is the part that I'm really thinking about. So while I'm going to say true, I think just partially because I'm a Bears fan, I'm always going to be worried about offense. But he's not making the same mistakes that he made before. What do you mean we're not going to throw 87 screens for four games in a row? Like, I don't understand. And so I'm definitely starting to worry less, but I'm not totally there yet. Brendan, I want to come seriously, dude. Like, it's almost like we work on a podcast together. Like, we're in each other's brains a little bit. You set this up, Jack, you set this up. And I knew this is what our listeners would want to talk about. It's what I want to talk about, because it was not all rainbows and butterflies today, right? The opening series were not good. And at times, right, before the turnover machine happened, before the Flus defense settled down, before Caleb started throwing some tutties, right, it was a little bit on the ugly side. And that seems to be a consistent theme for this team. So, true or false, the Chicago Bears slow starts on offense and defense will come back to bite them later on this season. Same order, boys.
Absolutely true. Brendan, you mentioned it in our Bear Down Chicago podcast thread, and I think, you're exactly right. I just don't think, the team in a third year of a rebuild with an offensive line that's done some nice things in the last 2 weeks, but will still have a lot to prove against really stalwart fronts. there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be mistakes by Caleb still. There's going to be other types of mistakes that you're going to have to overcome throughout the course of a game, later in a game. So you can't compile those with early game slow starts or mistakes. We can't keep getting penalized on the opening kick return, as a for instance. We can't keep having double shifts at the 2 yard line, as a for instance. It's going to be tough. I mean, we might get one or two more wins after the bye and before we go into the divisional series, but every single one of those games, I mean, think about it. We might be the worst team in our division. We're 4-2. So yeah, it's just absolutely a concern. I think there needs to be some sort of practice recalibration. I know sometimes when I had teams that slow started, I would shift the beginning of practice drastically, do something up pace. Maybe we go right out of the gate. This is Caleb and the offense. He's so good at up tempo. I don't know. Maybe we just started up tempo right out of the gate, but you got to shake it up somehow, especially offensively. You can't, I don't think, keep going, three and out or having a lot of early penalties and still expect to beat some of the teams we're about to play.
Yeah, I'm going to say true, not surprisingly, and Jack pretty much hit on a lot of the points that I was going to hit on. But I mean, yeah, at some point it has to. Like I said, if you go down 14-0, you're not going to play the Titans every week where Will Levis is going to just toss you gifts and throw BLTs up in the air that you can come down with. I mean, some of these teams are going to be well equipped to play with a lead, and this Bears defense is a bend but don't break defense. Eventually it can break if things like this continue to go on. So they've gotten a lot of help from the offense. The offense has brought them back. And then once that happens, it really feels like the defense just plays with a different intensity, a different fire. So I just think, like, while it's sustainable for right now, it's not always going to be that way. But I still think a lot of these things can be corrected because we've seen adjustments made across so many different areas. I don't think this is going to be a season-long problem. I definitely think the Bears are going to be able to self-scout this bye week over the next few weeks and be able to change that. And I know, I'm sure people are going to come at us be like, you guys are so negative after such a big win. No, I could speak for everybody. We are elated. We're just kind of nitpicking here some of the things that the Bears could still do better on because we want to see this team be great, and they're well on their way to being a good team. I mean, guys, they're 4-2. They've won 3 games in a row. This hasn't happened in almost 4 years. I didn't know either of you existed the last time this happened. So, like, I think we're all definitely drinking the Kool-Aid, but we want this team to kind of fix some of the mistakes that they've had just so they don't bite them down the road later on in the season.
I'm going to say true, but I'm also really interested because, again, this running theme of making adjustments as it goes is something that I don't think we are as familiar with as Bears fans. But the slow starts, it's tough. If, you know, this division that we're in, we've talked about it endlessly, is one of the best divisions of football, right? It is the best division in football. And looking around, you go, you can't have a slow start, even though your defense has been spectacular, even though the offense has been killing other teams. And I think, Brendan, I love what you said, and I think it's so important to highlight, is that people are like, what, come on, it's a win, it's a win. Yes, it is a win. And we are going to spend the rest of this episode talking about that. But this is one of those things where it has to be addressed. You know, you have to continue to put your foot on the gas. The same way that I was surprised when Caleb threw that touchdown on third down instead of bring out the field goal unit, right? I would like to be pleasantly surprised to say, by the time, you know, maybe not the Commanders game, but maybe by the time it's time for NFC North play, slow starts are not there anymore. It's we're ready for this. Let's do this. And then, boys, we're talking about playoff wins, plural, instead of singular.
I mean, I think we want it all, obviously. And I was just thinking, well, the last guy we had in town was like PhD level opening drive scripted plays for a touchdown. But then how did it go from there? And you made me think of it, Ryan, when you talked about how this particular staff has been so great at in-game adjustments. Yeah, it would be super unorthodox as a method of coaching, but it could be that they, you know, scout the team all week long, but then they go ahead and they take a look in the first couple of sets to see what the defense is actually in, to see what fronts they are in and what types of stunts or coverages that they are showing. And then they're like, okay, well, then this is what we're doing for that front and for that cove. Again, maybe a little unorthodox, and maybe why there isn't a play sheet in mind, because I'm just kind of spitballing here. Maybe Shane and Caleb are already at an ability or a level to be able to almost immediately make adjustments and then pick a defense apart. At least the last two games, you could maybe make a case for that. I would have a hard time believing that's going to work against, you know, a Detroit team or a Niners team.
Let's talk about the rest of this game, because as I said, we got the not even a negative, right? It's just the thinking down the road concerns. But let's sit and bask in the wonderfulness that was this game, basically from the third drive on, right? Just like, oh, this was so much fun. Boys, overall thoughts on this game? Let's go, Brendan, Jack, and I will finish it up.
it's crazy. We're getting to the overall thoughts, because I know we usually do this first. Just surprising, really. London games scare the crap out of me, because I just know how bad they can be and how sluggish players can be in them. But credit to the Bears, they did the process right. They did everything right. They left early enough in the week. They got acclimated, even though I think a lot of people, myself included, were like, okay, who's the team that's sleepwalking here after this slow start? But they looked right, especially just for 90% of the game, as the Jaguars were quitting. They just did not look like a team that was like wanting to be there, mentally ready to be there. And you know what? We heard a lot from the reporters in London that the Bears did have a good week of practice. You usually hear the coaches and the GM say that, but when the reporters actually say it, that means something. So it really just goes to show what this Bears team looks like and how they're doing things differently than the other regime. I mean, I've said it before. I know other people have talked about it. The 2019 Bears did exactly what the Jaguars did, where they left Thursday afternoon and got in Friday and basically had like 55 hours to be in London. So I was glad to see that they spent the whole week there. We talked a lot about the offense. I'm sure we'll get to some of the MVPs and everything. It's great to see them spread the ball around. Finally, Keenan Allen got going. I had a feeling he was going to get his first touchdown because Caleb talked about it. Rich Eisen was talking about it after one of the production meetings, like, hey, they know they got to get the veteran going. And I'm really glad that they did that. Not only just for the Bears offense, but for him, because he's been patiently waiting for his time. Defensively, once again, winning the turnover battle, getting two turnovers, the bend don't break mentality of this group. Even while they're banged up in the secondary, guys stepped up. You know, Josh Blackwell getting an interception, who relieved Kyler Gordon, who had to leave the game. You just see how deep this unit is. So overall, I just truly did not expect this. I thought that the Bears could and would win a close game. Caleb would look okay. And I would chalk it up to just the London game and say, all right, let's get back to the States for the bye week, figure things out, and at least we escaped with the win. I just did not see a 4-touchdown performance coming in those circumstances, and I'm so glad I was wrong.
Yeah, dominant on offense, dominant on defense, not so much on special teams. But you made a lot of great points, Brendan. You're in London against a team that was, I believe, 3-1 in London. Jacksonville has had quite a bit of success there. Doug Peterson, in his best days, can orchestrate a pretty fluent offense. You're up against a number one quarterback. You know, you've got your time change, your weather change. That's a lot of factors. You've got, you know, two of your best, you know, defensive secondary players out of the game. And there seemed to be a level of being unflappable, indomitable, that we just don't see with Bears teams. I almost feel like, boys, like we're going to have to learn, hopefully, a bit of a new vocabulary when it comes to like how we break down the Bears when they're so freaking good. I think we've spent, what, 3 or 4 years now trying to, like, I don't know, just make the best out of a really shitty situation. And it's like, okay, now what do I say when they freaking dominate? I also, just one thing on Keenan that I want to hear what you have to say, Ryan. I do think I was having a little bit of maybe you pay for the offensive lineman instead of the skill and speed wide receiver. But I think on the one passing play that Keenan caught for a first down where Caleb just thread the needle between the two linebackers and it was a first down. If the Bears are going to be like good and go to the playoffs and make any type of push, that's why Keenan Allen's on this team. Absolutely. That's why he's on the team.
Bears have made us eat our words a lot. In these last couple of games, and I'm fine with it. You know, I'm okay with saying, hey, I was wrong about this or I was wrong about that. You know, one of the things I will say is I've been hypercritical of Matt Eberflus as a head coach, and he is the worst head coach when it comes to, or his staff is the worst at challenges. Ball hits the ground. They're even saying, Rich Eisen's saying, hey, you're probably going to see a challenge flag. You're probably going to see a challenge flag. You didn't see a challenge play. He's really, really, really bad at it. But one thing he is not bad at is defense. And Jack, to your credit, you talked about this a lot last year in the podcast, is teaching. He teaches dudes how to play the game. And so you see guys, Brendan, you may have even tweeted about it. Elijah Hicks doesn't make this play last year, something to that effect. Am I putting words in your mouth, or did I?
Nope, you're right. It was the pass breakup on Gabe Davis in the end zone where Davis kind of dropped it, and then Elijah Hicks came in to, you know, make sure he didn't get that.
Every dude that played in that secondary was basically a backup today, right? Kyler Gordon going down. And so these guys were Jacksonville offense that actually is pretty decent here, boys. They didn't look so good. They look flustered. They look angry. And I'm hoping that this continues when the Bears go to play in Green Bay, right? Like that whole ordeal. And so I give Matt Eberflus a ton of credit, you know, for what's going on there. Eric Washington too. Again, I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. I think they're a great combination. I think the two of them, just they see things maybe differently, similarly, I don't know, but they're a great combo. I love it. And then I would also say this too, is, you know, the bye week coming at pretty much the perfect time. In other seasons you might be like, oh, dang, it's so early. It seems like it couldn't have come at a better time for the Chicago Bears, because guys are so beat up. And then the last thing that I want to say, Jack, to your point, right, that we are going to have to shift our mindset, because I got so used to coming, you know, like using big words for bad, right? Bears are bad, abhorrent, right? Abysmal. Like, I use those words a lot over the last couple seasons. It would be so much fun to not have to do that all the time. Sure, the Bears are not going to win every single game, but to have a team that's in it, that's consistently good, God, that would be fun. That would be fun.
I think expectations are changing by the week, because to build off your point, guys,
agreed.
Instead of saying that, oh, I hope Caleb Williams looks good. If he throws 4 touchdowns and the Bears lose 35-28, that's fine. And now it's like, no, this team can win games. And you're now wanting the progress to happen as well as the wins to happen. And you're also, maybe I'm just feeling this way, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just way less nervous about the quarterback making a dumb decision that is going to cost the Bears the game. Of course it could happen, but I just think, like, as our expectations change, that's when we're, and that's why we are thinking differently about these Bears, and why we're going to be using different words and kind of thinking what we want to see. So I think that is a great point, because this team is winning 3 games in a row, 2 games over 500. So this is now a team firmly in, at least now, because it's only mid-October, but they are firmly in the playoff discussion. And if this continues, we are going to, our expectation level is going to be raised, and we're going to be talking about them in a much different light than we were the last 2 to 3 years.
Let's go.
Sorry, that was my one-year-old daughter dancing in a diaper. Bear Down Chicago Bears. For all of you audio-only listeners, you missed that one. It was a cute baby butt in a diaper, but still a cute baby butt. Boys, I think with that, it's time to go to the outhouse and the penthouse. Yes, let's do it. Let's do it.
The outhouse and the penthouse.
The outhouse and the penthouse is brought to you by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Now, attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners. Need a commercial real estate expert? Look no further than Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. With generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all of your commercial real estate needs, trust Jeff Cadwallader. Visit jeffcre.com or give him a call or a text at 630-254-4734. Now, if you do talk to Jeff Cadwallader, we ask one thing. You tell him that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello. All right, boys. So it's time to go penthouse, then outhouse. Outhouse is going to be a little bit thin. Penthouse is going to be full. So how about this, boys? Let's go one round of the penthouse, and then we'll do an honorable mention after that as a quick one. Then we'll hit penthouse, or sorry, hit outhouse. And you know what? We might not have a ton to talk about, and I'm okay with that. So, and I'm sure Jeff Cadwallader is also okay with that. Brendan, I'm still smiling. I'm still smiling from last week when you let me go first, so I have to pay it back to you. So for penthouse, let's go. Brendan, Jack, and I will finish it up. Penthouse, boys.
Okay, so Caleb Williams was the best performer on Sunday, but I don't think he was the most valuable performer. And that, guys, is Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet just did it all, and that is not an exaggeration on Sunday. He led the Bears with 5 receptions for 70 yards. He had the 2 touchdowns. His first touchdown was a beauty where he broke 2 tackles and stretched to get that first score. Of course, he had the fade route on the second score. But then he had to fill in as the long snapper because Scott Daly got hurt. And guys, I don't know about you. I was nervous as hell because I thought this was going to be a close game. It happened early on. And I kept thinking, what if the Bears can't go for field goals? What if they can't kick extra points? Like, is this going to become a weird game where they have to go for it on fourth downs? Hell no. Cole Kmet was perfect on all of the extra points. The Bears did miss one field goal, but the game was already out of reach then, so it was definitely forgivable. I think Matt Eberflus had the quote of the day when he said Cole Kmet might be the first player in NFL history to catch 2 touchdowns and also snap 2 extra points. That was awesome. And then also his run blocking and pass blocking was superb. There was one play in particular. It was the DeAndre Swift screen. I think it was the third quarter. He was isolated with Eric Armstead on the right side. And he had to hold him at bay while Caleb Williams let the play develop with Swift. And he did it well enough where Caleb was fine. Swift got the ball and he took it all the way to the red zone. So Cole Kmet literally did it all. And I mean, he's so valuable to this team. I mean, he's a good receiver. He's a good blocker. And he's a pretty good long snapper. So he absolutely deserves to be in the penthouse.
Patrick Sheldon is not loving that right now.
So just on that note, do you guys think it's about time that he concedes that? I mean, I've conceded, you know, that he was probably more right about Flus. I was really wrong about Nathaniel Hackett, as we all know. You know, I was like so wrong on that, like offensive lineman down the field penalty, you know, where an NFL ref said I was making an idiot out of myself. I think Shells, when you're listening, man, it's time. It's time for you just to give Cole Kmet his flowers.
I'm only going to say, Jack, I don't want to steal any of your thunder, but they kept talking at the beginning of the thing. It was Evan Engram this and Evan Engram that. Right? The clear, better tight end was playing for the Chicago Bears in every single facet. Dude, we said it, I think, 2 weeks ago. Dude is a battering. I think it might have been last week. Doesn't matter, right? Is when this dude gets the ball, if he's running towards you, like, I don't want to be responsible for tackling the battering ram that is Cole Kmet. That shit would hurt. It would hurt. He's a stud.
Alex Moss, I think you're right. I mean, top five. I think last year he was in the top five. Again, and we don't have to go down this entire discussion, but if you think he's going to be a Kittle or a Pitts, he's just never been that. Well, he's better. He's an inline blocker, and he can catch the ball. His catch rate is out of this world. He finds the end zone. He's almost impossible to bring down. I mean, I really am impressed with the way he's come along in the last couple of years. They signed him to a new contract, and he's earned every penny. So I'm going to give it to Keenan Allen for my penthouse, just because, you know, he really played out today. It was nice to see him. He had five catches for 41 yards, and he had two touchdowns. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, like, I wasn't having huge misgivings about his signing. The more like elite wide receivers in the building, the better. We've been asking for that for a long, long time. So it's really nice to see them make a connection. I mean, DJ Moore nailed it, right? You probably heard it many times today, but like, it's as if everybody's Wi-Fi is connecting. And today it looked like Caleb and Keenan had their Wi-Fi connected. Also, it was hilarious on the sidelines. I don't know if you caught the clip of them talking about, like, what is it? Grandpa, I'm tired. And then what's the response? You guys know it. Can you bail me out?
That's too damn bad.
Nah, thank you keep so digging. That's so good. Those guys have a great relationship.
This is my face that neither one of you guys picked.
It's Caleb for you.
Williams.
We left it there for you. Put it on.
Two weeks in a row. Okay. All right. I'll take it. I'll go for it. I am so excited about Caleb freaking Williams. Dude, you know what? Yeah. Talk all you want about Jaden Daniels. Talk all you want about Jaden Daniels. The last couple of weeks, it's clear who the better quarterback is. It's clear who the better quarterback is. It's Caleb Williams. Right? Now you can NFL honors, whatever, you can call him rookie of the week, you can whatever. It is very clear that Caleb Williams is the better quarterback right now. Now, when they play each other, I think it's going to be a fantastic game. Jaden Daniels is a good player. I'm not trying to knock him. All I'm saying is Caleb Williams is better. He is unreal right now. 282 total yards. He ran the ball better than I think anyone was expecting him to run the ball. He's not Justin Fields. Everybody knows that. He had an awkward slide on that, really the run. You know what I'm talking about, Jack? I was thinking about you. You're talking about this. It wasn't the best thing in the world, but I don't care, right? He had four touchdowns and honestly had a really good shot of having five touchdown passes. And the way in which this kid is developing in front of our eyes, yeah, you know what? He paints his nails, guys. He paints his nail. Oh, I don't care. Paint your nails, dude. You want to wear pink? Like, what? You do you, Caleb, right? Like, I don't care at all what this kid does, right? Because he seems like a high character young man, and he is bringing an energy and an enthusiasm and a moxie that we haven't seen. Now, Jack, you have talked endlessly about blue chip player on offense. Well, I don't think he's there yet, right? Brendan, this one's for you. It's a little bit like when Luke turns to Yoda and says, "Then I am a Jedi." It's like, no, you must confront Vader. He's got to go after Green Bay. He's got to prove it in the division, right? Like, truly, truly, he's got to do it in the division. But all I'm saying is, I'm so excited about this quarterback. There was always this thing in the back of my head when Justin Fields was running the football, and you're like, this is awesome. I'm excited to watch this kid play. I really am. But I want to see it through the air. I want to see a quarterback that throws the ball. And he's freaking doing it, guys. And I'm so damn excited about it. And I just thank you for not taking Caleb Williams so that I could talk about him. I appreciate you, boys.
You're welcome.
You were so fired up. I love that. No, that was definitely worth keeping in. And man, he's broken pretty much every, like, look at all the different records and things that he's going after. I know I posted that he's already eclipsed Justin Fields as a Mitch Trubisky's rookie touchdown passes.
Crazy.
And I know. Well, and I know they only played Fields started 10 games. Mitch played 12 still. Like, he's passed them in just six games. He's one of two Bears rookie quarterbacks, I think, to ever throw for four touchdowns. He's, I think, the only rookie quarterback ever to throw for four touchdowns and run for 50 yards. Like, all of those things, you could just check off those little milestones and he's doing them. Like, your excitement and everybody's excitement is palpable. And I swear to God, I am being the bigger person because I still have receipts from that USC game where he cried in his mom's lap. And there were certain Chicago accounts and Bears fans saying, I don't want this. Can you imagine this guy being the quarterback of your team? Yeah, I can. And it's pretty freaking awesome. And I said it then. I'm like, you know what? Show the emotion. I don't care. Show, be who you want to be. Just perform at a high level and be a good teammate. And by all accounts, that's exactly what this guy is doing. So, man, I could pull those receipts. I really could, but I'm not going to because we are all living in this happy time where the Bears, again, are two games over 500 for the first time in 4 years.
Thank God we're in a world in which none of that BS was validated. I mean, think about that. Like, think about the hell we would be in right now if he was playing poorly and all that BS that he was dragged for, you know, before the season came up. But no, he is just 1,000% said, yeah, whatever. Say what you want, bruh. I'm gonna ball out. I'm just gonna ball out.
We're not doing this for long. We're not doing this for long, but I know Pittsburgh Steelers fans are happy with winning football games, but ask them who they'd rather have at quarterback right now. I think the answer is pretty clear. It's not a knock on Justin. I like Justin Fields. I like the human being that is Justin Fields, right? But I just like the people that were saying awful things about Caleb as a human being simply because they wanted Justin Fields, or maybe because they wanted to be right. I don't know. Like, it was a difficult decision to move on from such a popular player that was Justin Fields. I fully get that. I was conflicted about it, but decision is over, right? Like, and the decision was the right one to move on and draft Caleb Williams. Simple. We're gonna go to the outhouse. So
can we do our runners up real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Honorable mention.
There's more.
Let's go though, Brendan, Jack, and I'll finish it up. Honorable mention, boys.
All right, quick one. I'll just do DeAndre Swift. Once again, Just something clicked on with this guy's brain, and he's playing out of his mind. He had 17 carries, 91 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. He also added 28 yards through the air on 4 catches. That is, once again, over 100 yards from scrimmage. I believe that's the third game in a row. And it feels like he is – now, Cubs fans are going to like this. He is the Bears version of Dexter Fowler. You go, we go. If DeAndre Swift gets going, the offense gets going, Caleb Williams performs better. So just he deserves to be at the penthouse probably for the third week in a row.
I really hope he's not too hurt because Kyler Gordon has become the absolute sultan of chaos. That he is everywhere on the field. That dog can hunt. He is a problem for opposing teams. Like, I think at a Pro Bowl level of play on defense.
Well, I'm going to do two because I can. TJ Edwards, that dude is a heat-seeking missile. He's the best linebacker the Bears have, and the Eagles let him go for nothing. Whew, that looks stupid. You guys look really stupid. That kid is playing lights out. And the other one, this is on me, Kevin Byard signing. I was like, really? Like, this is not going to be – he has exceeded every single expectation. He didn't light up the stat sheet, but every time I see him on film, I just go, he's so much better than I thought. All right, boys. Now, do we have enough to go to the outhouse?
Yeah.
All right. Outhouse.
This is easy. It is Nate Davis. He is actually in the outhouse right now. Healthy scratch for the first time as a Bear. He has clearly been passed up. Also, keep in mind, Tevin Jenkins coming into this game, he had a hurt ankle, so he wasn't even, you know, 100%. They went with Matt Pryor, Bill Murray. Ryan Bates is coming back at some point. Who knows about Larry Borum? Guys, we may have seen the last of Nate Davis in a Bears uniform, and I don't think that's hyperbole. Like, he might get, and I love this guy, but he might get the Kyle Long treatment and just come back from London and never play a game in the Navy and Orange again. I think they're done with him. And either they're going to pay him to just go home and sit at home by himself, or they're just going to release him and eat the rest of the money on the contract. But regardless, the dude, for all intents and purposes, is Dunyan Rings.
I see what you did there, and I liked it.
That was
it.
Clever.
Yeah. I mentioned it earlier. I'm concerned about the special teams. I'd like to see all three phases perform at a higher level. I don't know. I don't know if you and I have like a psychic connection or if we were looking at each other's Twitter feeds today, but what's going on with our Gunners on punt coverage? Like I tweeted about it today. It's a simple thing, but like generally you take a guy who's pretty physical and real fast and you make him a gunner. For those of you that don't know what a gunner is, there are certain guys that will like have contain, other guys that will have lanes, but then gunners find ball, tackle ball. Well, maybe you guys know who it is. I don't know, Brendan, if you know who the player was, but like we're just flying down the field, and then the next thing you have to do is you have to drop your hips and you have to chop your feet and just pin the guy and just look at his numbers. And our guys are just like flying down, and it's like they're on skates all of a sudden. They get about 10, 8 yards away from the punt returner, and they're just like biting it, and it was bad. And so I think I heard Waddle and Sylvie talking a little bit about where our punter ranks amongst all punters, and the numbers aren't overly good. And some of it, I think a lot of it's because of our punt coverage, unfortunately. I think he would statistically be higher and more worth the fourth round pick with a couple more good coverage team performances. The snaps were good given Cole Komet, but we still had a blocked field goal. And we had a penalty, as I mentioned, right out of the gate on kick return. So I'd really like to see that cleaned up.
Slow starts. I already talked about it, so we're not going to say anything more about it. Hopefully the Bears can figure that out. And the second one is, and I don't like being the refs guy, but you miss a face mask that really like turns Roma Dunze's helmet around. Like that's pretty bad. And then also delay of game is still a penalty and should be enforced. They missed that one. There were some other things too, but just, I'm too happy to just keep dragging on bad stuff. Like I'm ready to talk about anything else. Cause this was so damn fun today.
Real quickly. Do you know the ref that ref that did the game, right? Brad Allen.
Wait. Is that the karate kick in Pittsburgh? The dude like twirled around. Do you know what I'm talking about? He called the penalty.
You mean for the Bears that 3 years ago?
Yes.
It's not, Steve, but I love No, I want to get off a tangent on that because I saw a highlight back in 2006 on Bears Reddit where that same guy got Urlacher for a little shove on the Vikings quarterback. It was egregious, so he clearly has something out for the Bears. No, Brad Allen is the ref from last year's Cowboys-Lions game who did the eligible receiver gaffe where they had the touchdown to the lineman and he messed it up. So he kind of sucks. So yeah,
that's why they sent him to London. I don't know. Boys,
last year, jeez.
Yeah, boys, we could. I'm excited that we don't have to play against him. But for the human being, Aiden Hutchinson, like, that was bad. Brendan, you did try to warn me. I guess I didn't look at it. I watched it, and I wish that I hadn't watched it. Goo. That was real bad.
I sent the tweet because I just texted everybody. I was like, oh, Aiden Hutchinson like definitely broke his leg. And Ryan said, was like, was it visible? And I'm like, yeah. And I sent the tweet, and like 2 minutes, 3 minutes later, I'm like, oh, you probably should watch that. If you like, don't watch it if you're squeamish. And Ryan's like, yeah, too late. You should have led with that. And I'm like, well, you asked, and I sent the video. It's bad, and they essentially all but ruled him out for the season, unfortunately. And he was having an insane year. Like he was on the way to becoming defensive player of the year. So it really does suck for him. And it, you know, obviously we don't need to say, like, we know Detroit's a rival, but you never ever ever want to see something like this. No, so it really does suck for them. It sucks for the NFL in general.
Boys, it's time to get to things we missed. If it's okay with you, I'm just along those lines about talking about Detroit. This is something that I do think that I wanted to talk about. Our good friends at Roar the Lions basically were slamming Chicago Bears for not re-signing David Montgomery to a huge deal. You know, I'd love to throw my two cents out here, which is the Bears offered him a contract and he wasn't playing the way that he's playing in Detroit right now. And also the fact is Detroit hasn't had a run game the way that they have right now since freaking Barry Sanders, man. Like, they've struggled to find a consistent run game for a long time. And I'm excited that David Montgomery has solidified that for them, but I don't miss him. Like, maybe that's a homer take for me to say that, but like, I genuinely, like, I'm excited for David Montgomery, classy guy. But I think the Bears needed to spend money in other places, and David Montgomery was not a place where they needed to spend. Was it like 18 mil a year or something? I don't remember exact details of the contract, but maybe it wasn't that much. Maybe it was 18 mil total, whatever it was. He got paid a new contract in Detroit. I'm happy for him, but I don't miss him. You guys feel any differently about the David Montgomery deal than I do?
Did Tariq Cohen drag Pulse? Was that a actual tweet? Did you guys happen to see that?
I think that was his Instagram.
Yeah, it was pretty. I mean, it was like any GM, like, stupid. I think there was an F-bomb in there, you know, enough to let Montgomery go as an effing moron or something to that effect. And so I was surprised by that, actually. Yeah, I think, Ryan, you're right. It worked out best for both. I mean, I don't think Bears fans are used to, like, the team making business decisions about good players. You know, it was right, you know, like, to let Khalil Mack go and then not to go pursue Khalil Mack again. So tired of hearing that. It was right to let Roquan go. He's a great player, and he's still a great player, and he fits well in Baltimore. But we have a great linebacking core right now. And so I think, in some ways, like, we chose to pay who we chose to pay, and it's worked out for us, and it's worked out for David Montgomery or Roquan Smith, or, you know, you can name other players, I suppose. So, you know what? I think that's just a part of the NFL. That's just how things go. You know, when you're playing, you know, when you're running the organization like a professional organization, finally.
So, yeah, I don't miss. I wish the Bears got this version of David Montgomery, because he was just kind of averaging 4 yards a carry, 3.8 yards a carry the last 2 years that he was in Chicago. And he kind of had this, it was always the mentality with David Montgomery. Like, he's the guy, if you need 3 yards, he's going to get you 4 yards. If you need 5 yards, he's going to get you 4 yards. He's just kind of that standard guy. And he's running. I think we're having revisionist history, because if we look back at the 2021 and 2022 seasons, many, many people would have said, hey, if he's there for the price, maybe like $4 or $5 million a year, sure. He got more than that. And I think a lot of Bears fans understood letting him go. He's thriving in a new system. And I tweeted on Saturday when the deal got signed, I am so happy for David Montgomery, and I am so sad for me, because I know that David Montgomery can run well against the Bears, and he definitely takes that stuff to heart. So good for him. I just hope the Bears keep their running game running efficiently, and that they're good with DeAndre Swift and Roshan Johnson creating a 1-2 punch.
Jack, is there anything that we missed that you want to talk about?
Yeah, just a couple of statistical things that I thought were kind of we could relish a little bit in them. So the Bears had 373 total yards. They were 4 for 4 in the red zone today, and they were 1 for 1 on fourth down. They only had 4 penalties, and those penalties were for just a meager 4 yards. So, you know, I just those are things we're not used to. I just thought some interesting some interesting statistical nuggets from the Bears that we can also celebrate.
Brandon, what about you?
I got some fun nuggets. So according to Mark Potash, the Bears have scored 5 offensive touchdowns in back-to-back games for the first time since 1956. That's unbelievable and yet very believable at the same time. So this offense is just, they've never had something like this in the Super Bowl era. Cole Kmet is the last player since Mike Bartram in 2005 for the Eagles to score a touchdown and then snap the extra point. So that was almost 20 years ago. Per Greg Allman, I think this is another one of those stats that shows how great Caleb Williams was. Williams finishes 23 of 29 for a 79.3%, still the best completion percentage ever for an NFL rookie with four touchdown passes and 25 plus passes in a game. Keenan Allen's, we talked about just how much that Caleb Williams is trusting him and threading the needle. I'm pretty sure that four of his five targets came on third and fourth down, and the one that didn't was a second down, the touchdown throw that was the fade. So when it comes to third down and fourth down, Caleb Williams is looking for Keenan Allen, and Keenan's delivering. So that's exactly what you want him for. He's a third down merchant. I mean, it's essentially third and Allen or fourth and Allen at this point. We talked a lot about Elijah Hicks. I think we really need to give credit to the entire NFC North. I know we all hate each other, but let's just take a moment and just say how impressive this division is. I think Sylvie tweeted out that they're 17-5. And then today on Sunday, collectively, the NFC North scored 138 points or 116 points, and their opponent scored 38. Also, the Vikings didn't play. That's insane. They just, the North is running through everybody. It's the best division of football. And on one hand, I'm very proud of that because it's cool to say that the Bears are a part of the best division. On the other hand, that sucks donkey dick because now it makes it much harder for the Bears to get the playoffs.
Right? So, the timing is terrible.
It really is.
Like, how come all of a sudden everybody in the freaking division is good? Like, when we're getting good.
Yeah, no, this is our time, not right. You Vikings. You're supposed to be in a rebuild. The Packers, you could just go to hell. Like, no, this is our time.
Yes.
Boys, this has been a fun episode. Anything else? Otherwise, I think it's time to get the shout-outs.
All good here.
Shout-outs, boys. Brendan, Jack, and I'll finish it up. Shout-outs, boys.
All right, so this is a collective shout-out to everybody overseas, and I know I'm going to miss some names, but I'm going to try to, you know, just get everybody. I'm really happy for guys like the Irish Bears Show, everybody involved with them. Noel Dowling from the Irish NFL Show. Noel was on 670 this week. Kieran was on with ESPN 1000 on Saturday. Like, it is so freaking cool to see those guys finally get their moment and be able to watch, not only be able to cover the Bears in person overseas, but also watch a dominant win as well. They've earned it. And it's very cool to see that everybody else, traditional media is recognizing them and giving them their moment. So shout out to them. Shout out to guys like Bearlissimo. I know, Ryan, you probably got a few guys that you want to shout out, so I won't spoil everybody. And then Sandy Tom from across the pond. He had one of the moments of the week when he tweeted out that he saw somebody almost get in a fight with George McCaskey, which George sort of bumped him, and the guy wanted to have words with him, and he tweeted it out. And we both got a shout out from Lawrence Holmes for it. So Lawrence was kind of, you know, giving it Sandy his props for finding that. Just all of those different things with all of the awesome UK Bears fans. I'm just really happy for all of you. I'm proud of everybody who's being able to cover the game and be able to just see their star rise, and just happy that you all got to see a win. So I hope this week was awesome for you, and just keep up the great work. So glad to be friends with so many people over there.
So the Bear Down Chicago podcast has some loyal listeners, and one of the best without question is Scott. He's at Swaziland. My daughter was playing in a conference tennis tournament at the school that Scott teaches English at. And Scott also announces the football games, and he also announces the basketball games, and he's also the speech coach, and he's also working on installing a dual credit program at the high school that he teaches at, and his wife is an educator, and wow, like, just
First time we got to meet in person, and it was a true pleasure to be able to just sit and chat with him about education and his kids and tennis and, of course, the Bears for quite a while. And so shout out to you, Scott. It was really nice to have met you in person. Shout out to Alex Moss, who's been all over our comments tonight and made a reference to me as Coach Wright, which I haven't heard that in a long time. So that kind of made my heart happy. I appreciate that very much, Alex. And then, of course, shout out to anybody that's, you know, been infected in any way, shape, or form. It almost becomes like trite or cliche when people say this in our position. But I've got a buddy, Chris Spencer, who lives down in Florida. And so a lot of times he can help me cut through, you know, what's real and what's not real about what's happening down there. And so, you know, it's real. Like it is unbelievable to think about being displaced from your home, not once, but twice, like within such a short period of time. And I just can't imagine, you know, my electricity goes out for 6 hours and I don't even know how I'm going to survive. And, you know, these folks are dealing with just an incredible amount of trials and chaos and danger. So yeah, shout out to anybody that is in the path of that hurricane and who's either a hurricane or the one that's coming. What's happening? Shout out to all of you.
So I know that Dave, Derek, Daniel, and Ant will understand, because we already talked about this, that normally my shout out would go to them. But I got to tell a very quick story, and I hope this doesn't sound too soapboxy, but I was almost killed. And it was a really scary experience. For all of you that don't know, I ride a motorcycle, and I think it is important that I say this because I think there's a stigma sometimes around people who ride motorcycles. I ride with my helmet and my jacket and my boots and my gloves and my high-vis helmet every single time that I ride. I'm not an asshat when I ride. I ride because I enjoy it. It's a great way for me to kind of – what's the right thing to say here? To kind of just, you know, let the world go a little bit. And I'm riding on a 4-lane road. I'm in the far right lane. And a guy is in the left lane. And he decides that he's going to get over in the lane that I'm currently in. And I mean, like, giving me no wiggle room to go anywhere. I honk. He pauses for a second. Then he decides, I'm just going to go anyway. So I have to slam on the brakes. I almost run into the concrete median that's right next to me. I have to try to control the bike where, you know, thankfully the person behind me was paying attention and slowed down enough. And then the guy decides to turn on his turn signal because he needed to go to Starbucks. And he couldn't just go to the next intersection. He decided that he had to go right where I was existing as a human being in that moment. And then, you know, just to say, you know, make himself feel better. He rolled the window down and, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. To which I said, in not such a calm way and lots of expletives, you don't get to say you're sorry. You almost killed me. And then, you know, a couple more passing words as I zipped around him. I just want to get home to my kids and just, I'm not riding 95 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. I'm not the guy that blasts his music and his engine at late times of night while your kids are trying to sleep. I just want to get home to my kids. And so this is a shout out to every single one of you who looks twice for motorcycles and for everybody that's out there, for you aren't on your phone for the entire time that you're driving or doing all those things. And you aren't a total asshole when you're behind a wheel. This is a huge shout out from one father to all you people who look again. I want to say thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. I'm a little shook up still from it. And I think some of you can hear it in my voice. And so I just seriously, thank you so much for all of you who are being good human beings out there. It means a lot. There's a whole lot of wonderful people that hung out with us this evening. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we cannot say thank you enough. We know that you can get your Bears content anywhere, and you have chosen to hang out with us. If just for a little while, it means more than any of us here can say. I know I speak for all these guys when we just, you know, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. Please hit like, hit subscribe. Like this particular video if you're watching it on YouTube, right? Hit retweet, whatever it is, right, to kind of support us. Hit us with a 5-star review. It really helps to widen our audience. Comments and YouTube videos help a lot. any of that stuff, we would greatly, greatly appreciate. Thank you so very much for hanging out with all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So for Jack Wright, Brendan Chagrou, Logan Bradley, Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis, I'm Ryan Dangle, folks. Thank you so very much. And as always, folks, Bear Down Chicago.